You've gone from rugby to football to cricket back to football and now into the NFL. We know you, of course, from your time at Sheffield United. Can you just explain how you went from Bramall Lane to the NFL?
Sure. A lot of luck's involved, and I try and work as hard as I can to do a good as job as you can at any of the teams. But I was recruited by Nike to come to the work in Portland, Oregon, at their headquarters, and that's how I got to the US. And then through some circumstances at Nike, they made some business decisions. I became available, and that's when the Seahawks, who were setting up a sports science team, recruited me to come in there. So I got a specific role as the applied sports scientist, and so they're looking for someone who had multi-sport background, some international work, and obviously I had some of that. And they wanted somebody who hadn't worked in the NFL so they could get a different perspective. We've got another couple of guys in the team who work in the NFL, and so that's how the connection came. So quite often I'll look and say, well, we would do this in cricket. How do any of those elements then transfer across to American football and or from the rugby league times or from my time, yes, at Bramall Lane? You're looking at what are the things which are different in other sports, how we could bring in to be applicable within the NFL. So that's how the connection came. Seattle was very, very close to Portland, so I was in the neighborhood and just happened to be in the right place at the right time. So that's how I'm here living in the US.
Now, sports science is quite a broad term, isn't it? What exactly does your role involve?
Yeah, it's a bit of a sort of it's a buzzword within sports in the UK, and has been developed over the last 10 to 15 years in terms of what is a sports scientist. And then in the US, it's starting to evolve here. In fact, they've recruited a couple of different people from the United Kingdom as sports scientists. So a sports scientist is someone who's done that pathway within the academic world at university, but it's really then an extension of a strength conditioning coach who wants to look at data and how that can be most applicable in terms of what any athlete is doing. And so we use sports science to underpin the strength conditioning work, but then a sports scientist, well, my position there, an applied sports scientist, got a different focus on, particularly around data, how you collect it, how you then look at it to inform the types of things you want to be able to do with the players to get them in the best position possible for game day. So, yeah, sports scientist is not a guy who walks around in a long white coat looks through a microscope. You're looking to try and provide scientific rigor around collecting the data, but yeah, you want to be close to the players, understand what that team environment looks like. And yeah, I'd say the best way to describe it is an extension of what we would know as a strength conditioning coach or a fitness coach.
How do you think this role compares to some of your previous roles, your time at Sheffield United, with Leeds, with Yorkshire County Cricket Club, with some of the other jobs that you've had in other sports, Dean?
Well, obviously, the games are quite different in terms of the physiological requirements of the players for them to be successful. So, the cricket players, if you were to compare a Joe Root or a Michael Vaughan, someone of that slender nature, to some of our NFL players, they're obviously massively different in the types of things that they do. But then there are lots of elements within how they would prepare. They're just a different body shape and type in that process to be ready for game day. So, there's lots of areas which are similar. But I would suggest that the rugby league was very, very similar. NFL is like taking corner kicks from the right continuously, and the same guy who's your quarterback basically takes the same quarter, the same corner kick, and then you have lots of variations tactically to defend or attack that. And so it's, in rugby league terms, you'd be running your players. It's, again, it's a combat sport. The guys are running into each other very, very hard. So there's a huge amount of physical contact. There's lots of transferables from all the different sports. And over a period of time, as long as you've got really sound basic principles, you can take those and apply them to the different sport. You have a different point of view. So, yeah, there's lots of things I take from different experiences. And there's different things that we've incorporated here with my work at the Seahawks where they just haven't seen because they haven't worked in other sports. They're NFL guys, and I get that. That's a massive advantage that they've got that wisdom. But having completely, absolutely no idea who the players are or what their needs are is a great element to bring into my time in the NFL. And I felt the same when I went from rugby league to cricket, because I knew the game of cricket, but I'd never worked within it. And so when I started working with the Yorkshire players, I just had a completely clean slate. And so I think there's a lot of advantage in that. Some of the things that I suggest, in fact, a lot of the things I suggest, I thought, are you crazy? That just isn't applicable at all. But on occasions, the different point of view allows me to go, okay, how about this? And they go, yeah, we actually haven't seen it from that point of view. So, working with them in the different sports has been great. Say the needs of the players for game day, a Marshall Lynch who crashes into people as hard as he can, and the NFL is the most violent game that I've been in. Super League rugby is incredibly tough. Those athletes are no tougher than the NFL athletes, and vice versa. But the level of violence, because of, as I say, they take a corner kick in football, is very similar to this. You get a chance to catch your breath, line yourself up, and then I'm just going to run as hard as I can, either to catch or tackle somebody, and then stop, catch a breather, and then go again. The level of violence within the NFL is just remarkable, and these guys are particularly well prepared to be able to cope with that. So, a lot of similarities that you can draw across, but very, very different, and I just try and put that to my advantage.
You mentioned that it was initially with Nike and then going across to work for them that perhaps took you to America and has given you this opportunity eventually to work for Seattle. I've got a particular interest in the Spark system, which you were involved in, and it just seems like a really fascinating way of scoring and judging athleticism. Can you just explain exactly what Spark is, or was, as we should say now?
So Spark was a company that Nike acquired. I think they acquired them around 10 years ago. And they had some really smart dudes who put together some amazing mathematics around scoring athletes from a sport. So obviously within English football, they created a thing called a Spark rating, and they were able to take four particular tests, combine those into one score of physical competency, physical capability. And so their Spark rating was incredibly accurate. In fact, we had some guys who were able to create some mathematics around it and show us the correlation between success, not only between in the English Premiership and youth players coming through, but then through all the leagues. There was a really strong correlation between a higher Spark rating score and then success going on and then playing in the EPL, and then again actually positionally wise. So it was they had some amazing stories able to tell in terms of testing athletes and then defining who was going to be the best. And so the Spark rating has an incredibly high correlation in NFL football, hockey, basketball, and they had a number of these Spark ratings that they had. And so it was built around their ability to understand the athlete and then how that athlete be as good as they can be. It's no more. But that's got us to the Pacific Northwest, so we're very lucky for that. So my time with Nike was great, because that was an amazing story to be able to tell. And then, help athletes be better is what that was all about. And obviously from my time working with different sports teams and helping athletes try to make it as a professional athlete, that was really good. So we use the Spark rating at Sheffield United very extensively. In fact, they still use a number of those tests there in order to identify the best players. So it was very, very cool. They made some pretty cool training equipment as well, some really innovative stuff around vision training, they look like sunglasses, but they actually help your eyes pick up objects and the velocity and trajectory of those, and helps you then train your vision. So they had some pretty cool stuff, but Spark is no longer. They decided to close it down, which was very disappointing, having brought my English wife and two English daughters, Yorkshire citizens, over to the Pacific Northwest, and then suddenly said, hey, Dad's not got a job anymore, so just try and make the best of it. And so we just knuckled down, and all of a sudden the opportunity came to come and work for the Seahawks. So incredibly lucky, and my time with Nike and working with the Spark program was a great benefit in what I'm doing now.
Carroll comes in 2010 you know, it's around about 2011 that you sort of start to see that momentum move towards eventually the team winning their first Super Bowl last year. Just what has it been like being part of a team that has had that kind of rapid success, Dean?
Well, you can see why, because of the type of culture which exists within the entire building. Everyone from the cleaners, the groundsmen, coaching staff, you know, every one of the administration staff, you know, they've got an incredible culture. Pete Carroll is obviously absolutely integral to that. Then you've got another chap called John Snyder, the GM, who's, yeah, they're both pretty remarkable guys, and they've got, you know, other pretty remarkable people around them. So, you know, it's easy to look with rose-tinted glasses when you're inside the organisation. You know, they pay my wages, and, you know, they're a really successful team, and everyone's happy because you're a winning team. You know, we obviously won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. We went to the Super Bowl again this year, we're probably pretty fancy to do well again in our division, and then, you know, hopefully challenge for the Super Bowl again this year. You know, they've been in that play, you know, for the last 3 years, like you say. So, you know, you'd think, well, okay, it's because you're winning, you're feeling good, but no, it's because they feel good about what they do, and is why they're winning. And so Pete Carroll, he's even written a book on, you know, developing teams. It's called Win Forever, and what it looks like to be able to... He talks about his philosophy from when he worked in collegiate sport here. He worked at a large university in Los Angeles, USC. Did really, really well there before coming to the NFL. And he's got a really strong philosophy in how he builds his team and that team culture, and everyone's competing and trying their very best. And you know, it's great. And so, you know, from that point of view, if your players are thinking it, and the coaching staff are thinking it, and the off-field staff are thinking it, they're doing the right thing. They're trying their very best. And, you know, one of his things is to, you know, do it better than it's ever been done before. So it's very cool how that operates, you know. And so they've got this incredible environment. And so, yeah, the different managers that I've worked for were some really, really great dudes. You know, I mean, very different. Martin Moxon my time at Yorkshire, and then Neil Warnock and Kevin Blackwell. You know, I've worked for a few different coaches, and, you know, they're all good. Everyone's quite different, but there's certainly something very special here at the Seahawks, and it's renowned for that in the United States, that they've got something different. So, yeah, they've created this amazing environment. It allows you to feel comfortable within it, and then try your backside off, and then you know, there's not a huge amount of recrimination if, you know, maybe things don't go wrong. They're just, okay, how can we be better next time? And so that's a pretty cool environment. I'm learning a lot about being inside it, and, you know, hopefully, you know, that'll make me better. I certainly enjoy working within it, but I'd take a number of the things that I've learned here and take those to another sports team, absolutely. And I wish I'd had some of the skills that I have now when I was at you know, at Bramall Lane. That would have been some of the useful things there when you're in difficult times. We had a difficult time during the season, and they were able to rely on those principles and that environment they've created to be able to dig in, and just from a point where it was a, you know, they're one and lost three, they then put the squeeze on, they were able to kick through and obviously had this amazing run. They all felt that they were going to, and I can see why, and it's because of the environment they've created.
But how much also does the sports science play off that? How much do they use that as well off the back of the identity that they've created, the competitive nature within that locker room? How does it all mesh together, Dean?
Well, sports science is new within the NFL. And so a little bit earlier on, it's a little bit of a buzzword. Go, oh, okay, you know, I've got sports science, and what is it? And, you know, they've recruited, I think there's three from UK sports teams have actually gone to NFL teams. Just in the last couple of months, and so there's this little influx happening. We got a year's advantage on some of the other teams. It's hopefully a good thing. But in terms of the sports science and competing to be the best, you know, we try to innovate around the data we collect. We're experimenting with some technologies that you know, probably won't see the light of day for a few years, which is a real advantage. But the competitive nature of it and always competing allows us to do things with players, whether we're, you know, collecting experimental numbers or we're using some experimental technology. Say, okay, yeah, I want to be the best. We'll do that. And because of the environment that is, listen, you know, respect everyone. Everyone's, you know, trying to do their very best. you know, it's an unusual thing that allows us as sports science and that to evolve within our team without suspicion or thinking that someone's got a different agenda. It's pretty cool. And so in terms of doing that in English football, or where you've got promotion, relegation, you don't have that same leeway, I would suggest. And that also fundamentally goes back to the difference between American sport and English sport, and that you have to have a benefactor in English football in order to, you know, basically sort of operate as a team, wealthy owner who does really well for the organisation. And Kevin McKay just did amazing things in the time at Sheffield United, a lot of things that people didn't see, you know. Great bloke, dug in deep for us. And so, you know, the building of the academy, the facilities and around that, you know, great, but you need that in the English business model. But the US sports model for the NFL team, it's a business that makes money. And so our owner is a very wealthy guy, but he owns the business to make money. And so then your operating system within it is very cool, because everything's strategically planned about how can we be better. We make this much money. He's not into it to make money. He's into it to do a really cool thing. He's a Seattle guy. It's Paul Allen, who is one of the guys who started Microsoft with Bill Gates. Wealthy guy, but he's not in it to make money. He's in it to do well for the team, even though and well for the city, even though he does make money. But he puts that back into the organisation. We've got an amazing practice facility, and that we're very well looked after. And so your business model and the whole outlook is different, because you have this operational budgets. Everyone's allowed to, okay, what strategically can we do this year and then next year? Okay, yeah, look, we'll put this much towards this experimental technology, or, you know, we've got a guy who's just flown off to Europe to go and look at some particular technologies from our team, you know. So you're able to do that much more. I went myself to go and visit some teams and do some stuff, and, you know, we're just on that constant mission to do that, and it's because that business model allows it. And so, you know, it's financially sound, everyone's paid, there's never any doubt on that. If your benefactor wasn't here, everyone would still get paid because of the NFL's control over the NFL teams. They make sure you don't spend over budget, and that you actually do spend all your budget as well. Some teams have been told they will be fined unless they spend all of their player wages budget. And so, yeah, it's just an entirely different business model, and so that allows you to bring integrate sports science. It's a great environment, friendly environment, and then because of that business model, we can strategically plan, and over a longer period of time, then we can make those additions. And so that's why the sport, in terms of athletic development, is probably got more opportunity to be better, because there's no danger of I'm saying, okay, you know, can we get this? If it's going to make a difference, they will, but they don't just spend willy-nilly. But they strategically plan it, so that makes it much, much easier to do a better job sustainably.
Now, there may well be people listening to this interview who aren't aware, Dean, that Seattle had a pretty crushing defeat in the Super Bowl this year. How much is there a collective responsibility on everybody within that organisation, yourself included, to help the players bounce back from what happened?
Yeah, there is. It's absolutely collective. He talks about that. He came out in the press straight away afterwards. Yeah, he took responsibility for the call. If people didn't know the game, we actually got to the one-yard line with three players left, and they made a call for a throw. They threw the ball. It didn't come off. It was a very cool play by the New England Patriots player. He intercepted the ball, and the game was over with 20 seconds left on the clock. So, yeah, it was crushing. We were sat there. We thought we had done it. There was an incredible catch by one of our players to go up the field 50 yards. Marshawn Lynch took us in for 1 yard. We thought he was going to go for the touchdown. And then, you've got 17 seconds, I think, left on the clock and three plays to go. You think we've won it. We all thought we had won it. I had the Super Bowl ring on my finger. It was like coming up over the second knuckle. I thought, there we go. That's what it's going to look like. It was one of those things in football, in sport, we've got this. And I remember times when I knew that with Sheffield United, and I knew that with the cricket and the rugby league, when you're like, we've got this. So, yeah, it was pretty crushing. There's a huge amount of sorrow afterwards, there's some anger. But because of the culture they've created, that we've been able to overcome it. And, some of the things that we contributed towards getting there last year, even though we're a fledgling department as a sports science team, we were able to come with a couple of key things to help us get the right physical status going into the Super Bowl. And everyone contributed in their own way. With little parts, but we contributed a couple of key things along the way. And so, we're looking to try and enact those elements again. So this year we've modified a number of the things of what we'd normally do with the players so that we can be better again this year. And teams don't often go to the Super Bowl. If you make the Super Bowl and win it, they make the next year's schedule tougher. This next year we play 6 games where the team that we're going to be playing has had a bye week the week before. So 6 times we'll play a team in the regular season, and they're going to have 2 weeks gap going to a game we've only had one. So they do it so that it makes it tougher for you, because they want an even competition. They want all the different teams winning. It's a great business model when they do it so that every city has at one point in time a winning team. So bouncing back from the Super Bowl, emotionally, Pete, he's the leader for the team, and so he took all the responsibility for making the call, because he does. Everyone's wired up on radios, and everyone knew the call was going to be made. So everyone was in on it. The call was going to be made, but he's an amazing leader. He's able to take it on the chin, and we've modified a couple of things in terms of how we load the players so that they can physically feel better, and also because for the last 2 years our team has played more games than anyone else, we've got a particular physiological load and also emotional load that no other team has got, because you go until the first week in February, whereas other teams are finishing the first week of January. So there's that extra month, and continuously we're doing that. And so we're modifying our load, and we're also looking at the schedule ahead so that we can try and do some pretty interesting things in those bye weeks to help us particularly cope with the teams who we're going to play, because there's going to be some special attention there to try and cope with that. So, as a team, you get over it, because you have to. Sports is like that. It's a fish and chip wrap, pretty soon after. And, we lost at Wembley. We could have maybe had a couple of penalties in that playoff final when we lost to Burnley, but we didn't. But you got to go again. And you have to go again. And so, that's what you quickly do. And so some of the principles we learned there at Sheffield, I've tried to take and incorporate what we've, what we're going to try and obviously do here this year. So, emotionally and physically, you've got a lot to deal with, but they're pretty well organised to be able to cope with that.
What's it like having a Super Bowl ring?
For that, I arrived after they weren't actually giving out the Super Bowl rings to everyone. So I've tried one on. They're pretty cool. and so we won the NFC Championship, so I've got an NFC Championship ring, which is similar size to a Super Bowl ring. So that's pretty cool. It's got the Hawks head on it. It's covered in gems and made by Tiffany's of London, which is, I think, is quite funny and pretty cool that they've got the Tiffany's people here doing it. So, I've got a ring, and winning the NFC Championship game was just a remarkable experience. And we won a game at Sheffield United when we beat Nottingham Forest. There was 2 legs, and I think we had drawn when we were away at Forest, or we were 1 goal down, and I think we were 2 goal down. They scored at Bramall Lane. But then we knew we had it. We knew we had the ability to come back in. And once we had got a goal, we knew we were sort of going to go and win the game. And so winning that game was very similar to the NFC game against Green Bay, where we were down 17 points with 4 minutes to play. And we went on and won the game, which in overtime, which was just remarkable effort. And so, but you sort of knew we had it. We knew we had the ability. And so, so I haven't got the Super Bowl ring. Got the next best thing, but hopefully we'll go on this year and do the same. With our GM, John Snyder, made a pretty cool move in the draft. We drafted a guy called Jimmy Graham. He's a great dude, big, strong athletic guy. He's what's called tight end. So he's like a receiver. He catches the ball. And so that is a really remarkable trade. We traded our first-round draft pick to get him, as well as dropping a player. And pretty remarkable move, because people are normally looking for that up-and-coming collegiate player to come into your team. But we made that call. Super athlete, great guy. And so adding that type of player to the squad probably puts us in a pretty good position to be competitive again in our division and hopefully go to the Super Bowl. So, John Snyder, the GM, made a pretty remarkable move to go and do that, because most people would you know, wouldn't have seen that. But that's a massive part of it, recruiting players from, you know, collegiate level or from other teams, to be able to find that player who's, you know, got the mental fit for the organisation, obviously got the physical and technical capabilities to be able to play at this level. So hopefully we'll get a chance to go close to getting to the Super Bowl again this year. It's heartbreaking to lose the last one, but it was great to be there. Super Bowl is just a remarkable event from the time that we won the game to, you know, be able to go there. The NFL monster took over to go to this incredible sporting event. Security levels were just remarkable. We had sniffer dogs checking bags going to and from practice sessions. Obviously, to the game day was just incredible. We had security swipers to go on and off the field. You know, everything was controlled and managed. Never saw the halftime show with Katy Perry, which I was gutted about. And, that would have been cool. But yeah, you know, hopefully we'll get a chance to go again this year, because it's just the most remarkable sporting event. You know, I've been to playoff finals, been FA Cup semi-finals, and some pretty big cricket games in England at Lord's, and you know, T20 stuff at Yorkshire. And, you know, packed houses, all very cool, but gee whiz, the Americans know how to put on a sporting event. And yeah, the Super Bowl was just absolutely off the chart. It was just remarkable. The whole experience, from the time you fly, the whole week down there with the media, to, you know, game day, and then after, was just incredible, just absolutely just remarkable. And you just can't, you know, there's so many elements to it to try and describe. Just so, you know, as I say, they're just absolutely off the chart. But you know, very cool, and they know how to do that. That's why the Super Bowl was such a hugely watched sports event around the world, because, you know, it's not only a great sport, these guys are damn good athletes, you know. But they showcase themselves so very, very well. That's why it's such a remarkable business.
It sounds like you're having a great time in Seattle and having a lot of success there. The team very successful as well. I just wonder, Dean, you know, will we ever see you in English sport again? Will you ever be back over here, whether it's with the football, with the cricket, with the rugby? Do you see that in your future one day?
I've given up. I'm trying to look too far ahead, because things change so quick. But, you know, I lived over 20 years in England. So, you know, I've spent most of my life, more than half of my life, I've actually spent outside of New Zealand now. And so, but yeah, England's home. My girls are Yorkshire girls, my wife's from Sheffield. So, you know, and I was just recently back, only for a fleeting few days a couple of months ago. And so, yeah, you know, it perhaps may happen. You know, one thing is you just sort of accumulate wisdom everywhere you go, you know, with all the different sports teams. And so, you know, the opportunity came to come back, it worked out that way. I know my wife, you take the girl out of Yorkshire, never take Yorkshire out of the girl. She would, you know, she misses it dearly. She's going back again this year. But, you know, I don't know. Certainly there's some things that I'd love to be able to try and apply within English sport again. And so if we got the chance to come back and work out family-wise, it'd be great. But my daughters are doing well over here. My eldest daughter is actually playing at she got a bit of a tennis scholarship. So she was a pretty good player back in England, and she's done really well over here. And so she's doing a nursing degree, so she's well set in, and she has the broad Yorkshire accent and hasn't lost it yet. My youngest daughter, who's at high school over here, she flicks between her Yorkshire accent and an American one. It's the funniest thing. When she's with her mate, she's got this American accent. They can't tell. They have no idea that she's a foreign kid. But then she, you know, when she's talking to us, or she's talking to, you know, her grandparents back in Sheffield, she flicks to her Yorkshire accent. It's the funniest thing. So yeah, Yorkshire's a great place. The countries are different. Obviously, I'm a New Zealander and was born up there and lived for worked there for a number of years before moving then obviously to the States. They're just all different countries, and, you know, the world is so small now, and we can get places so quickly and so effortlessly. We'd love to live back in Yorkshire again, but we love living here. So, you know, listen, we'll just follow our nose, just try and do as good a job as we can here, and we'll see. Miss English football, the culture, the community aspect of teams and players. I really do miss that. They don't have that, you know, as much as they put on an amazing sporting event,
it's just not, they just haven't got a shadow on it. There's no way to, you know, people arriving into, you know, Bramall Lane or Allen Road or, you know, into Headingley, you know, that sort of tribal nature of following your sports team is just different. And they're massively passionate supporters. You know, they, the fans over here, they actually, the fans of the Seahawks, they call the 12s, because they actually retired the shirt number. There's 11 players in the field, and they call them the 12th man. People talk about the 12th man. We talk about that, how important it is. Well, actually, they retired the shirt number, and they call the 12s here. They're remarkably passionate fans, but they're just different. It's just different. And they talk about, oh, those English football fans, you know, or soccer fans, they call them, oh, they're amazing. And you try and describe it, and you just can't, you know, it's being part of it. So if we got the chance to come back and it was the right thing for us as a family, absolutely. You know, we loved, I love my time in England, and, you know, it's a special place in my heart, Yorkshire.